John Leonetti in the morning.
Hey, welcome in, everyone. John Leonetti in the morning right here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Thanks for being a part of the show today. It is Monday. Good morning to one and all. October 11th. We've got a great show to kick off this week. Anthony Digman is going to be on at 7:15 today. He's got his master's in theology. He's an author and an educator, and he has a really popular YouTube channel called Passionately Catholic. Anthony's been on the show before. It's been a while, though. He's actually here in Iowa, I believe the Archdiocese of Dubuque. But we're going to talk about the evidence that we have for belief in God this morning. He's really done a lot with that, and we're going to talk about it. Is there evidence to actually believe in God, or is just some kind of blind faith that we operate under? He'll have the answers for us coming up at about 7:15 today. Joe Stopulos, host of Man Up, going to preview what he's got coming up at 9 o'clock on Man Up. Jesse Weiler is going to be on at 7:45 today, director of the Liturgical Institute, for our monthly segment. We're going to talk about some of the more important liturgical items that we see and why they are important, some terms behind those items as well. We'll have a lot to discuss with Jesse today. He always brings it. So I'm looking forward to that 7:45 segment today. Mark Amadeo will have your news and sports. We'll have your weather and your saint of the day all on this Monday. No Deacon Tony this morning. Let's offer our day to Almighty God as we pray. God, our Father, we offer you our day. We offer you all of our thoughts, words, joys, and sufferings in union with the heart of Jesus. Holy Spirit, be our guide and strength today so that we may witness to your love. Mary, Mother of Jesus and the Church, pray for us. Amen. Mark Amadeo now, news and sports.
News and sports with Mark Amadeo.
Well, hello, sir.
Well, Mr. Leonetti, good morning to you on Monday.
And to you as well. Ready to kick off the week.
Yeah, wasn't it a great weekend, especially Saturday? Did you notice anything going on Saturday, John? Did you hear some?
Well, I noticed that the Iowa Hawkeyes got extremely lucky, and they came out with a win. They knocked the quarterback out. I did not see that game going well at that point, but once that quarterback... I'll tell you this, I really did not think that there was a worse quarterback in a Power 5 football team than Petrus, but we found him. We found him. He's the backup quarterback for Penn State, and that's the way it happened.
Folks, if you're tuning in, especially those people from Creston who love their Hawkeyes, Mr. Leonetti is a big Iowa State fan.
Yeah.
So you have to keep that in mind where he's coming from. Yeah. Now, the reality of it is Iowa's knocked out six straight starting quarterbacks, including your own up there in Ames.
Yep.
He didn't play the fourth quarter. And the Hawks had a tremendous home crowd advantage. Wasn't that a sea of black and gold, John?
I did see that, and that was it was actually impressive. And, you know, it's a tough place to play. Kinnick's one of the tougher places when they're sold out like that. I mean, very few teams come out with a win. Mm-hmm. You play the game, things happen in a game, breaks happen, and you take advantage of those, and you guys did.
Yep, you make your own breaks. Oh, by the way, John, your only loss this week. You almost ran the table, but you picked Penn State to win. So
yeah.
Now you're just...
Well, I was looking good there for a while.
Yeah, you're lowly 3-1, so you're still in the D category of the overall season. Just, 67%. Isn't that a D-minus, D-plus,
yeah. 3-1.
C-minus?
Well, listen, like I said, I was going good there for a while, but the tide turned. And
you picked against the Hawks. That'll
and Iowa
do it.
takes the win.
Mm-hmm. Certainly did. Dolan got a big one Friday night. We'll have a highlight clip here coming up that. The Maroons are... It's Valley Week. We've never had Valley Week this late in the season in a long time. Usually it's week two or three. It's week eight now, and it means a lot because playoff implications are at stake for Friday night's Dowling Valley game. So we got all that going on, John.
Now, is this a do or die for Dowling Catholic this Friday?
You don't want to leave it in the hands of next week because week nine, you don't know who's going to get in or out. Keep in mind, Class 5A, a new class in high school football, they use an RPI system. It has nothing to do. It's all about a formula, kind of like what college basketball uses, John, of who qualifies for the NCAA and all that. So similar to that.
Interesting.
And so, Could you have a record of 5-4 and get in the playoffs? Sure. Would it knock out a team with the record of 6-3? Sure.
Wow.
But you don't know. You don't know how that's going to work. It's
okay.
Not about by record. So.
Well, that's interesting. We haven't been in this predicament for a while, so let's get a win.
That's right. All right, my friend. Well, let's get right to it this morning. Today's Iowa Catholic Radio Network weather update is brought to you by Catholic United Financial, providing life insurance, Medicare supplement insurance, retirement annuities, and more online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Well, current conditions here in central and southwest Iowa, well, damp. We got light rain, cloudy skies, and temperatures in the mid-50s right now with light winds out of the east. And yes, it will be an umbrella day as it'll be cloudy and wet at times and cooler throughout the day today on this Monday. High of just around 60 degrees, so the temperature won't be going up too much for warmth. Northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. We can expect another half to 1 inch of rain before it dissipates. Tonight will be partly cloudy, lows in the mid to upper 40s with northwest winds of 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then tomorrow on your Tuesday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid 70s, should be drying off a little bit. And then Wednesday comes along, we got rain and showers and thunderstorms with that rain, highs in the mid 70s. And the rest of the week looking dry and cooler. Thursday and Friday, highs in the lower to mid 60s with cooler and dry conditions. Well, today's Iowa Catholic Radio Network news update is brought to you by Tuffy Tire and Auto Service in Ankeny, offering complete car care service from routine dealer recommended maintenance to complete diagnostics and full service auto repair. TuffyAnkeny.com. Well, Des Moines-based Meredith Corporation is being sold. The publishing company recently announced it's being bought out by the New York-based IAC Interactive Corporation. Now, Meredith will join IAC's Dot-Dash Digital Publishing Unit, and the new company will be called Dot-Dash Meredith. Meredith employs about 800 people here in the greater Des Moines area. Today's sports report is brought to you by Big Red Q Quick Print. Friday night, right here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network, it was week 7 of the high school football season, and it was 8th-ranked Dowling defeating Ames 49-6 at Valley Stadium on Parents' Night. And we have a highlight clip from Friday's game.
Gain of 1 officially, a 1-yard gain for Phil. Back to throw English, fires the ball downfield. He's got a man open over the middle at the 30, and nobody will catch him. That is Cooper Nicholson with the score.
And that was Dowling quarterback on senior night, Jake English, hooking up with Cooper Nicholson for a 53-yard score. And the Maroons led 14-0 at that point at the end of the first quarter. Dowling went on to win 49-6. And they'll face the 6-1 Valley Tigers, who are ranked 4th in Class 5A this Friday night. And the game we'll have here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network. On Saturday, high school volleyball, Dowling Catholic, which is 5th ranked this week in Class 5A volleyball, went 2-2 at the Cedar Rapids Jefferson tournament. The Maroons will host number 9 Johnson tomorrow night in their season finale in the CIML. Also on Saturday, Dowling girls team, the 4th-ranked Maroons, placed first in the 8-team Johnson Invitational held at Summit Middle School in Johnston. And also on Saturday, state boys golf was held, Dowling Catholic placing 8th out of the 12 teams. The Maroons finished 34 strokes behind first place Cedar Falls at the Beaver Hills Golf Course in Cedar Falls. Major League Baseball playoffs yesterday, the division series continued in the American League. It was game number 3, and it was the Boston Red Sox defeating the Tampa Bay Rays 6-4 in 13 innings. Boston leads that best of 5 series 2-1, and game 4 is tonight at 6 o'clock in Boston. Also yesterday, last night late, the White Sox defeated the Houston Astros 12-6. Houston now leads that series 2-1. Game 4 is this afternoon at 2:30 in Chicago, and I'll say this, weather permitting, as the rain is supposed to be moving through the Windy City today. National League Division Series also continues today. They had the day off yesterday. Milwaukee is at Atlanta. First pitch at noon. That series tied at 1 each, and San Francisco is at the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight, and that series tied at 1 each. And first pitch at 8:30. Both of those games will be televised on TBS. Yesterday's NFL scoreboard for week 5 of the NFL season. The Green Bay Packers defeated the Cincinnati Bengals 25-22 in overtime. Packers improved their record to 4-1. Minnesota Vikings got their second win of the year as they defeated the winless Detroit Lions 19-17. Chicago Bears down the Las Vegas Raiders 20-9. And the late game last night, after a little over an hour delay in Kansas City, it was the Buffalo Bills defeating the Kansas City Chiefs 38-9. 38 to 20. The Chiefs fall to 2-3 on the season. Tonight, NFL Monday Night Football has Indianapolis Colts at Baltimore, and that'll be a 7:15 kickoff. Today, there's no doubt any Catholic varsity sports or activities that are scheduled. Our next high school football broadcast will be this Friday night, week number 8, 8th-ranked Dowling at number 4 Valley. We'll be on the air at 6:30 with our pregame, kickoff 7 o'clock from Valley Stadium as we head towards the end of the regular season with high school football here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Once again, current conditions here in central and southwest Iowa. We have light rain, damp conditions, obviously, cloudy skies, temperatures right now in the mid-50s with light winds out of the east. Bring your umbrella today. It'll be cloudy, wet at times, and cooler, high of around 60 degrees with northeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And we could see another half to 1 inch of rain here in central and southwest Iowa. And this has been your Iowa Catholic Radio News, Weather, and Sports on your Monday morning. John Leonetti Show. I'm Mark Amadeo.
Iowa Catholic Radio News and Sports. Year-round coverage of Dowling Catholic High School sports is underwritten by Construction Professionals, Dental Associates, Kemen, Mercy One, the Catholic Tuition Organization, and Ashworth Vision Clinic. Thank you for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio.
The Holy Father offering advice on Sunday during his Wednesday general audio, Sunday Angelus address to Catholics who feel that their faith is tired and they wish to reinvigorate it. He says, quote, "Is your faith tired? Is your faith tired? Do you want to reinvigorate it? Look for God's gaze. Sit in adoration. Allow yourself to be forgiven in confession. Stand before the crucified one. In short, let yourself be loved by him." He goes on to say, this is the beginning of faith, letting ourselves be loved by him who is Father. Pope offering his advice while reflecting on the day's gospel reading in which Jesus urges a rich young man to go sell what you have and give to the poor, then come follow me. But he said, the man begins with a question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Pope says, notice the verbs he uses, must do, and also inherit. Here is what he calls religiosity, a duty, a doing so as to obtain. I do something to get what I need, but he says this is a commercial relationship with God, a quid pro quo. Faith, on the other hand, is not a cold, mechanical ritual, a must do to obtain. It is a question of freedom and of love. And this is the heart of the gospel right here, what the Holy Father is pointing to. And a lot of times we can find ourselves thinking, well, if I'm just a good person, then I'm worthy of God's love. Or if I just do this right, then I'm worthy of heaven. You know, I just got to kind of check these boxes. Or on the other hand, we can, you know, not take it from a sinner's perspective. We can take it from a righteous one's perspective. Well, I go to church. You know, I'm a good person. I do these sorts of things, so I'm obviously worthy. We can fall into one of those two camps there. But I think there's a middle way to chart. Again, the two camps, one of, well, I don't do the right thing, therefore I'm not worthy of God's love, or I'm a wretched sinner, and so we fall into despair. And again, on the other hand, well, I do the right thing. I'm a good person, quote unquote, and I go to church and I check the boxes, so I'm worthy of it. But rather, as the Holy Father is saying, this is a commercial style of love. This is a relationship where we kind of look at each other and we say, well, I have done this for you. We're kind of keeping score, right? God just becomes some giant guy in the sky with a big long beard where he's, you know, making a list and checking it twice. But that's not God, as we know. That's Santa. God wants something deeper. Again, not a commercial relationship with us where, you know, we say you owe me or I owe you, but rather one of complete and total abandonment to love, where we allow ourselves to be loved by God. And you see where the Holy Father points us to. Right there to the sacraments, the Eucharist, the source and summit of that love for you and I. Confession, there not to judge us of hell, but to free us, to forgive us. That's why our Lord instituted this sacrament for us, not for our condemnation, not so that we think we just get yelled at and, you know, we go in with our hearts beating fast and our heads down, but rather run in with a smile that we can be free, that God's grace of forgiveness is there. The Holy Father for his Sunday Angelus address. Good stuff this morning. All right, when we come back, Anthony Digman is going to be back on the show. It's been a while since I've had him on. He's got his master's in theology. He's also an author of a couple books, and he's got a popular YouTube channel. We're going to talk about belief in God, the evidence. Is there evidence for belief in God? Anthony Digman will have some of that for us right after this. Hang on. John Leonetti in the morning right here on this Monday. And support for Iowa Catholic Radio comes to you by Bell Construction. Thank you, Dean, for underwriting the show. 30-plus years in business. 963-4494. Residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, including bricklaying. 963-4494.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte. Life insurance can help protect your family. It's your future. Let's protect it. CindySchulte.com. Cindy's phone number is 515-226-2111.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, and I want to thank Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory for underwriting Christ is the Answer. Losing a loved one, as we know, is never easy, and it can leave you feeling lost and even hopeless at times. But Caldwell Parish helps ease that burden by sincerely caring both about your loss and about your faith. Caldwell Parish Funeral Home and Crematory is Des Moines' only Catholic-owned and operated funeral home. Their number is 515-276-0551 or online at caldwellparish.com.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and John Leonetti in the morning provided by Bell Construction.
Bell Construction is a roofing company. They specialize in residential re-roofs, light commercial jobs, and have the experience to meet all of your roofing needs with personal service. With Bell Construction, the owner will come to your home or place of business in person to inspect and ensure the quality of work that you deserve. They pride themselves in working with you on a personal basis and making sure you are satisfied. Bell Construction, 515-963-4494. Bell Construction.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio and Christ is the Answer with Father John Ricardo is provided by Confluence Brewing Company, a local brewery featuring seasonal and limited-release beers located off the bike trail south of Grays Lake and online at confluencebrewery.com. Confluence Brewing Company has growlers to go, apparel, and other gifts for family and friends. Confluence Brewing Company is available for curbside service and would like to thank you for your support. Thank you, Confluence Brewing Company, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Dental Associates, addressing your smile needs and dreams. 515-225-6742, Des Moines-DentalAssociates.com. Thank you, Dental Associates, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Hi, this is Matt Wilkham, Executive Director for Iowa Catholic Radio. I'm grateful for so many family members who stepped up and pledged your support during our fall carathon as we seek to be fully funded for the rest of the year. We're still looking to reach our goal, and matching dollars are still available. Give now by calling 515-223-1150 or donate online at iowacatholicradio.com. Thank you for helping Iowa Catholic Radio connect listeners to Christ for 15 years.
Thanks for tuning in here on this Monday. No better place to start your week than right here on Iowa Catholic Radio. I believe that. I hope you do. Jesse Weiler, second half hour, director of the Liturgical Institute, for our monthly segment with Jesse. Looking forward to that, as always. It's a fun segment, so hopefully you're able to stick around for that, friends. Let's go to our next guest. He's got his MA in theology. He's a speaker, author, educator, Anthony Digman, back on the show. Hello, sir. You there?
I'm here, sir.
There he is.
Hello?
You thought about getting your doctorate?
Yeah, I've played around with the idea, but that takes a little while and a lot of work.
Yeah, it does take a lot of work. So you're still teaching, right?
You got it, sir.
Yeah, yeah. And you've had your master's for a while now. You've got a popular YouTube channel. Let's talk today about a topic I know you're passionate about. I'm passionate about this as well, and I think it's important for us to revisit it time in and time out, especially in the culture we live in today, and that is belief in God.
you know, this evidence that we believe we have, or you're going to kind of walk through that with us, a little different than kind of a scientific evidence that we demand in our culture today. And, you know, I know you'll sift through that as well, but it's important for us to know. But I want to start with a quote, and it was a quote by a New York Times best-selling author, Richard Dawkins, of the God delusion, where he said that faith ultimately, and I want you to respond to this, is for people who really are just afraid of the dark.
People who are just really afraid of the dark. You know, interesting thing about Dawkins is I would say that he would definitely recognize the dark as well. And here's my guess on what he means by the dark is death. Okay. Is it because this is the great equalizer for all of us in humanity, is that we're all going to die, and this tends to bring up these big questions like, why am I here? What is the meaning of my life? Is there a God? Is there a heaven? Because that would be dependent upon the idea of God. Now, those who are afraid of the dark, you know, I think that it's totally logical to be afraid of the dark. I think that it's actually important to be afraid of that dark, of that death, and have an awareness of it. But I don't think it needs to be fear in the sense of terror. Okay, right, it's October, we're getting ready for Halloween. Not in the sense of terror, but even a fear in the sense of awe that I don't know what death is going to hold, but I have this trust, I have this faith, I have this hope in the eternal life promised by Jesus Christ. Now, I would bring up, you know, Dawkins has spent all of his time focusing on, like, scientific evidence for God, et cetera, which I love to play with. Sounds like you love to play with as well, John. And sometimes you can just go back and forth debating those kinds of things. But I find that focusing on the person of Jesus Christ is really essential because you can kind of kill two birds with one stone. If you can prove the historical evidence for the resurrection, for example, as a real historical event, that it actually happened, not only can you show that Jesus Christ really was who he says he was, he really was the divine Son of God, you can also demonstrate what makes Christianity unique amongst all of the world's religions and all other competing ideologies out there. So I'm a big fan of looking at that, and one of, if you're a deep reader, N.T. Wright, is former Bishop of Durham in England. He's an Anglican. He's not a Catholic, but he's kind of written the definitive book on the subject of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the evidence for it. So if you're a big reader, N.T. Wright's book on the resurrection would be an awesome direction to go. Dawkins is, he's a really interesting, colorful character, and there's a lot of great Catholic apologists out there and Christian apologists who respond to Dawkins in depth. But I would say we should have a healthy fear of death, the dark, as you put it, or as Dawkins put it.
Yeah.
But there is phenomenal evidence for the authentic seeker who's willing to dig in and look not only for science and religion together, also evidence for God specifically, and especially for the resurrection in Jesus Christ.
For the toughest skeptic out there, what's your best argument for the existence of God?
Yeah, great question. So I would actually say it's really not an argument so much as a, hey, this could be a wake-up call to somebody who's never heard this before. Blaise Pascal was a huge contributor to thought, philosophy, theology, the works back several hundred years ago. I forget when Pascal was living in Europe. But he has this idea that's become known as Pascal's wager. And he basically proposes it like this. It's like, look, we're all going to die. Okay. So we have to basically place our bet on whether or not does God exist or does God not exist. Okay. We've got to place our bet on something because if we don't place our bet, it's basically like betting against God. So here are our options. Either I live as though God does not exist and I do whatever I want. I live any way I want. I don't try to develop a relationship with God, don't receive the sacraments, you know, et cetera. I don't grow in a life of holiness and grace and virtue, which can put my soul at peril. And if God turns out not to exist, then there's nothing. There's just nothing. I die and there's nothing. There's no hell. There's no heaven. There's just nothing. But if God does turn out to exist and I've lived my life in opposition to God, then I've got a very serious problem. And the alternative is if I believe that God exists, but not only believe, because even Satan believes, knows that God exists. He knows God exists, but he rebels against God. So if I believe God exists and I live in good relationship with God and grow in that relationship with God and grow in virtue and holiness and receive the sacraments and grow in God's grace, sanctifying grace, then when I die, I can have this hope in eternal life. And if God does turn out to exist, then I get that. I get the hope that God has promised me. But if I die and God turns out not to exist, then nothing happens. So I'm really not out anything, right? It's not like I die and go, oh, bummer, you know, I was so hoping God would exist and I'd see my loved ones in heaven. There's nothing, okay? So Pascal says this, that you have everything to gain, namely heaven, and nothing to lose by believing in God. Because if God doesn't turn out to exist, then there's just nothing. But if I live my life opposed to God, with atheism or even belief in God and rebelling against God, then I have everything to lose, namely heaven. And I have nothing to gain, because if God turns out not to exist, there's nothing. I love that argument. It's a great way. I mean, it's not really an argument for God's existence so much as it is a wake up to say, this is why I should pursue God, because you'd be crazy not to.
What do you say to someone that says, prove to me that God exists scientifically? Science doesn't show any evidence to God. How do you respond to that?
Sure. Yeah, that's a fun one. Okay. So first off, science can neither prove nor disprove God. Science doesn't deal in the realm of God at all. Science just deals with physical stuff. So we need to be honest about what science is. For example, you can't take a doctor in medicine and tell them that I want you to, you know, teach me how to design something with, you know, electrical magnetic pulses. Okay. Unless it has to do with the human body. You know, he's not going to be an engineer for NASA, for example. Mm-hmm. And I mean a medical doctor. It's out of his field. So science, for example, is only going to deal with what we can observe and see. And God is not in that realm whatsoever. So all you have from science, you can have evidence and you can use scientific stuff to say, well, this is evidence for God or this is evidence against God. Now, there are many pieces of science that we can use that I truly believe point in the direction of God, and many others have. Anthony Flew, who was an atheist for over 50 years, he debated C.S. Lewis at Oxford when he was a young man. He argued, debated as an atheist internationally for over 50 years, converted and became a believer in God in 2006, I believe, 2007. He's got a book on his conversions. He's since passed away in 2010. Phenomenal conversion story from Anthony Flew, British gentleman. Okay, but my favorite argument for God using science is called intelligent design. And it's basically that if you look at everything that exists in the created world, either it all happened by random chance, so no God. It's completely random, no purpose, or there is an intelligent designer. Now, the idea of an intelligent designer, there are many little pieces of evidence from science. I'll give you a couple that actually fuse together. So when the Big Bang happened, okay, so science talks about the Big Bang. When the Big Bang happened, we're told that the explosion power of the Big Bang was precisely calibrated with the force of gravity that would hold everything together in the universe. So when the universe begins at the Big Bang, that had to be precisely calibrated. So if it was off just a little bit, if gravity was just a little bit stronger or the explosion power of the Big Bang was a little bit weaker, the entire universe would have recollapsed. But on the other hand, if the explosion power was slightly stronger or gravity was just slightly weaker, you would have had everything spread out too quickly, and then all of the matter in the universe could not have condensed into stars and made all of the elements that everything's made out of. We would have experienced a heat death in the universe. You never would have had hard planets, rock planets like Earth, let alone with water, let alone with carbon, to build everything that life is based on. Okay, so for the person who really wants scientific evidence, you can go there. I also like to use miracles. Do we have enough time for me to share a 3-minute miracle story?
Yeah, share a miracle story.
Fabulous. So one of my favorite miracles is from Buenos Aires. It happened in the mid-1990s. There was a host. It's a Eucharistic miracle as well. There was a host that was found in the back of church on a candelabra, a table, something in the back of the church. So the priest goes back and gets this, and he brings it back up, and they preserve it in the tabernacle, put it in water to allow it to dissolve away the same way that we would with any other host in that situation. So it doesn't dissolve. It actually turns to flesh, a piece of flesh, and it is bloodied. Okay, so flesh and blood. And it stays there for several years. They start to document it. They take photos of it, professional photos of it, but they keep it quiet, just to see what's really going to happen. Well, after enough time goes by, I believe it was in 1996, they had a physician come in. They brought in a physician. They took out a sample of it. So he cut off a piece of it. They sent it to a forensic lab from Buenos Aires to New York City and did double blind. They sent it in without them having any idea what you know, exactly is coming in, where it's coming from, that it's come from, that it comes from a host. And the doctors who did the analysis on it, especially the head doctor, said this comes from human, it's human tissue, okay? It comes from a human victim from the left ventricle of the heart, which is the part of the heart that pumps blood to the entire body, gives life to the entire body. They named the blood type, all that kind of stuff, which actually matches the blood type of other Eucharistic miracles in Europe, which is just really fun. And they said that this person underwent extreme trauma because there was white blood cells still active and they penetrated deeply in the tissue. This person was as if beaten on the chest, underwent extreme trauma, and would have died minutes ago. This victim would have died minutes ago because these white blood cells were still active in the muscle tissue. So they asked, well, where did you get this? Like, how could you get this off a victim and get it to this lab this quickly? And then they revealed that this was from a Eucharistic miracle that was years ago, part of the way around the world in Buenos Aires. And the doctor said, I can't explain that, but I stand by my assessment. This is what I'm looking at.
Really interesting, man. Fascinating stuff. I've heard that before, and I love hearing it every single time. He's Anthony Digman. People can find you where?
Yeah, great places to find me are get in touch with me on my website, anthonydigman.com, or hop onto YouTube and type in Anthony Digman or Passionately Catholic, and you will find my Passionately Catholic YouTube channel with a whole bunch of videos on evidence for God and science and the religion and miracles and more.
Awesome, man. Keep up the good work, brother.
God bless, John. Take care.
All right. He's Anthony Digman, everyone. Good stuff this morning. Joe Stopula, second half hour, going to give us a little preview of what he's got coming up at 9 o'clock. And then Jesse Weiler is going to be back on the show for your liturgical minute. And when I say minute, I mean segment. He's going to be on for quite a while. I love Jesse. He does a fantastic job and always learning something from the sacred liturgy when he's on. 7:45. Mark that down. Don't miss it. Monday, October 11th. John Linetti in the morning right here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Support for the show is brought to you by Five Suns Naturescapes Landscape and Design. Thank you for underwriting the show. The Pew family, fivesonsnaturescapes.com. That is fivesonsnaturescapes.com. Father Andrew now with today's gospel and reflection.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While still more people gathered in the crowd, Jesus said to them, "This generation is an evil generation. It seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it, except the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah became a sign to the Ninevites, so will the Son of Man be to this generation. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will rise with the men of this generation, and she will condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and there is something greater than Solomon here. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because at the preaching of Jonah they repented, and there is something greater than Jonah here." The Gospel of the Lord. Jesus seems to harshly criticize the people of his generation for their complacency. After all, God sent many prophets and did many things in their midst, and they still rejected him. Jesus explains that even those who aren't considered the chosen people and who are seen as having little, if any, faith, recognize and acknowledge his previous signs. The gift and virtue of faith isn't something that's inherited. It's granted to us by God, and we must consciously and actively grasp and utilize it.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. Since 1999, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling has been supporting customers with their rules to live by. Respect, understanding, loyalty, expertise, and service. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling is a family-run business, reminding you of the Golden Rule. Treat others as you wish to be treated. Golden Rule Heating and Cooling. GoldenRulePHC.com. Thank you, Golden Rule Heating and Cooling, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Thank you, Big Red Q Quick Print, for underwriting the Sports Report. Family owned and operated since 1980, Big Red Q Quick Print is a full service print shop ready to help you with all your printing needs with speed and accuracy. Forms, manuals, brochures, letterhead, envelopes, business cards, custom invitations, design, and bindery. Big Red Q Quick Print, located across from Merle Hay Mall, online at bigredq-desmoines.com. Big Red Q Quick Print. We make printing easy.
Happy Monday, everyone. Good morning to one and all. Joe Stopulis coming up here soon. Going to preview his 9 o'clock show. And Jesse Weiler, director of the Liturgical Institute, will be on for your monthly segment with Jesse. It'll be good. I promise you that. All right, let's do it. No Deacon Tony this morning. We offer our day to Almighty God in our morning offering as we pray together. God, our Father, we offer you our day. We offer you all of our thoughts, words, joys, and sufferings in union with the heart of Jesus. Holy Spirit, be our guide and strength today so that we may witness to your love. Mary, Mother of Jesus and the Church, pray for us. Amen. Let's go to Mark Amadeo now, news and sports.
News and sports with Mark Amadeo.
Hello, sir.
Well, good morning once again, John. Happy Monday to you. How was your weekend?
My weekend was grand. I got a round of golf in, and Iowa State didn't lose, so I was good.
Yeah, you're that team up north had the weekend off.
Yeah.
They'll be back in action at Kansas State this Saturday night, apparently.
Yes, so, they will be.
Yeah, take a very well-deserved time off. Yeah, it was kind of exciting this weekend. Did you notice anything going on in Iowa City? I think they had a major convention going on, major celebration after that convention. Oh, my gosh.
That's what it was.
That was awesome.
Storming the field like that and all that.
Isn't that amazing?
Did Big Ten get to fine them? I mean, is that how they roll?
I think the SEC fines them. I don't think the Big Ten does, but you know,
storming the field.
I'm sure you get a few donors just pay for that fine if they end
well,
up doing
that. I mean, it's amazing to me. You pack what 70,000 people into a stadium, and then you know you fine them for actually storming the field because of COVID, but you have no problem packing them in the stadium for 70,000. Just
never have figured that out, John.
Yeah,
I haven't figured that out yet. Maybe they used to kind of rail on you guys up there at Ames when once in a while you storm the field, but. That was after you beat Kansas and some other teams, so I don't
think so. No, last time I remember that was Oklahoma State. I wasn't there, but when they beat number 2 Oklahoma State, I saw that.
Yeah.
I was standing on a bed in Indianapolis. I was speaking there, and I was in my hotel, and my wife was next to me, and I was standing when that happened on the bed jumping. Now that was quite the show.
I do remember that. My son was up there as part of that staff at Iowa State, and he was a pretty memorable game. Yes, it was.
Don't bring down number 2 very often, but I was, you know, their highest ranking in since 1985, the year I was born.
Wow. Yeah, that was after that memorable game, I'm sure. Then they beat Michigan.
Yep.
They went to number 1. So, yeah, that makes sense. But now it's got to take care of business. You have the Purdue's and Wisconsin's and teams like that, and that's not going to get any easier.
Well, I'll tell you what, man. I mean, you go into Wisconsin, you get a win there. They're a team of destiny, but that's going to be the toughest game you've got right now.
Yep. And, of course, depth injuries are a big part of it. I think they lost their cornerback and maybe a fullback, but I'm not sure how that's going to shake out. We'll find out tomorrow. But you don't want to have too many injuries. Get that depth chart down, and that's not good.
What, you talking about Iowa?
Yeah.
That kid that got that interception, is he out?
No, the young man from Ankeny Centennial, he could be out. They haven't decided yet.
Okay.
He landed on his knee or something happened with his knee. Hopefully he just locked up.
Yeah,
he's going to be fine. And then the fullback went out. He got dinged up at the end of the game, and he might be out for a concussion-related instance. So, you know, you just got to stay healthy. But it was a memorable weekend, and matter of fact, that was your only loss. You would have ran the table if you would have picked the Hawks, but you picked Penn State, and that's fine.
Well, like I said, I was looking good for a while until their quarterback went down, and then everything changed.
Yeah, you did. Well, we'll hope for the best this week. It was just a memorable weekend, John. That's all I have to say.
There you go.
Especially glad you enjoyed it. Love the black and gold. That was just a memorable weekend. And Notre Dame won Saturday night. That was a rough game. That was tough for the Irish to battle out on the road. You were hem-hawing on that game.
I know it was. I didn't know which way to go. But
you went the right way.
I did go Notre Dame on that. I picked them right.
You did. 35-20 Notre Dame. I can't believe you picked them that big, though.
Yeah, I know.
Picked them big to win. Okay. All right, my friend. Well, bring an umbrella today. Oh, I forgot. It's in your car or it's back in your closet at home.
No,
right?
My wife's car. She gets the umbrella.
Yeah, we're going to be dodging raindrops here up till maybe 1, 2 o'clock this afternoon. So
here we go.
We need it. We need it.
Yes,
all right.
Do.
Today's Iowa Catholic Radio Network weather update is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. We want to thank them for being part of our broadcast here
on Iowa Catholic Radio. Catholic United Financial, providing life insurance, Medicare supplement insurance, retirement annuities, and more, online at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. Well, current conditions here in central and southwest Iowa, rain, cloudy skies, damp. You call it what you will. It's been off and on rain this morning. We could see another half to an 1 inch of rain before late afternoon, as we'll have temperatures right now in the mid-50s with light winds out of the east. But today it'll be cloudy, wet at times, and much cooler, high around 60 degrees. And we'll have those northeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. So bring your umbrella. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows in the mid to upper 40s with northwest winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And then tomorrow, on your Tuesday, partly cloudy, highs in the mid-70s, should dry up a little bit. And then rain back in the forecast for Wednesday. Showers and thunderstorms also possible, highs in the mid-70s. And the rest of the week, dry and cooler Thursday and Friday, highs in the lower to mid-60s. Well, today's Iowa Catholic Radio Network news update is brought to you by Tuffy Tire and Auto Service in Ankeny, offering complete car care service from routine dealer recommended maintenance to complete diagnostics and full service auto repair. TuffyAnkeny.com. Well, Des Moines-based Meredith Corporation is being sold. The publishing company recently announced it's being bought out by New York-based IAC Interactive Corporation. Now, Meredith will join IAC's Dot-Dash Digital Publishing Unit, and the new company will be called Dot-Dash Meredith. Meredith employs about 800 people here in the greater Des Moines area. Today's sports report is brought to you by Big Red Q Quick Print. Friday night here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network, we brought you Week 7 of the high school football season, and it was 8th-ranked Dowling improving their record to 4-3 as they defeated Ames 49-6 at Valley Stadium on Parents and Senior Night. And we have a highlight clip from Friday's game. And here's a play right up the
Cam,
gun. And
Cam Middleton
is inside the 40, and he's going to go. Cam Middleton trucking down the near sideline. Touchdown, Dowling. Wow, that is a 64-yard run for Cam, and that is a slow-developing play there, Matt. And that was Matt Maindring on the call with me on Friday night. That gave Dowling a 28-0 lead at the time in the second quarter. The Maroons went on to win 49-6. Up next for Dowling, it's Week 8, and it is Dowling Catholic, ranked 8th right now at number 4 Valley. Tigers come in with a 6-1 record. We'll have the game this Friday night here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network with kickoff at 7 o'clock. On Saturday, the Dowling volleyball team went 2-2 at the Cedar Rapids Jefferson invite. Maroons are ranked number 5, and they have a record now of 24-12, and they will host Johnston tomorrow night at the Dowling Gym in their final CIML Central Conference matchup. Saturday girls swimming, it was 4th-ranked Dowling placing first at the 8-team Johnston Invitational held at Johnston Middle School. And also on Saturday, boys state golf results. Dowling placing 8th out of the 12 teams at the Class 4A State Golf held up in Cedar Falls at Beaver Hills Golf Course. Congratulations to Ron Gray and the Dowling Boys Golf Team for an outstanding year. Major League Baseball playoffs continued yesterday with the division series. It was Game 3 in the American League. Boston Red Sox defeated the Tampa Bay Rays 6-4 in 13 innings in a game that took over 5 hours to play. Boston leads that best of 5 series, 2-1, and they will play Game 4 tonight at 6 o'clock in Boston. Yesterday after, or rather last night, the Chicago White Sox defeated the Houston Astros 12-6. Houston leads that best of 5 series, 2-1. Game 4 is this afternoon at 2:30 in Chicago, weather permitting. That'll be televised on Fox Sports 1. Also today, the National League Division Series continues with Game 3. Milwaukee is at the Atlanta Braves. They'll have first pitch at noon. That'll be televised on TBS. That series is tied at 1 each. And late tonight, San Francisco Giants at the Los Angeles Dodgers. They'll have their Game 3. First pitch at 8:30, televised on TBS, and the Dodgers and Giants are tied at 1 each in their best of 5 series. Yesterday's NFL football scoreboard, it was Week 5 in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers improved their record to 4-1. They defeated the Cincinnati Bengals in overtime, 25-22 in Cincinnati. Minnesota Vikings got their second win of the year. They defeated the winless Detroit Lions, 19-17 in Minneapolis. And the Chicago Bears picked up their third win. The Bears defeated the Las Vegas Raiders 20-9 yesterday in Las Vegas. And the late game last night, for all you Chiefs fans, it was the Buffalo Bills coming into Kansas City and defeating the Kansas City Chiefs 38 to 20, after just over an hour lightning delay in Kansas City. The Chiefs' record now falls to 2-3. Tonight, NFL Monday Night Football has Indianapolis Colts at the Baltimore Ravens, and they'll kick it off at 7:15. It'll be televised on ESPN. Today, there's no Dowling Catholic varsity sports or activities that are scheduled, and high school football this Friday night, Dowling at Valley, will be on the air at 6:30 with our pregame show, kickoff 7 o'clock from Valley Stadium here on the Iowa Catholic Radio Network. Current conditions right now in central and southwest Iowa. We have cloudy and damp conditions, temperatures in the mid-50s, light rain in areas right now, and today it'll be cloudy, wet at times, and cooler. High around 60 degrees with northeast winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Bring your umbrella, maybe a sweatshirt. Half to a 1-inch rain totals later on today. It should end by mid-afternoon. And this has been your Iowa Catholic Radio Network news, weather, and sports on your Monday morning. John Leonetti Show. I'm Mark Amadeo.
Iowa Catholic Radio News and Sports. Year-round coverage of Dowling Catholic High School sports is underwritten by Construction Professionals, Dental Associates, Kemen, Mercy One, the Catholic Tuition Organization, and Ashworth Vision Clinic. Thank you for supporting Iowa Catholic Radio.
Let's go to your saint of the day.
This is your Saint of the Day on Iowa Catholic Radio.
His hours of hard work and prayer were instrumental in shaping the church. Today we celebrate Pope Saint John the 23rd. He was born in a farming community in northern Italy. He spent most of his life fulfilling an increasingly difficult set of church positions. He was a diplomat in World War I and in World War II, during which he saved an estimated 24,000 Jews. Later, he was named a cardinal and appointed Patriarch of Venice. After being elected pope, John focused on ensuring peace and understanding between peoples. He offered to mediate the Cuban Missile Crisis, and his papal encyclicals helped expand church teaching to the faithful on their duties to work for universal peace. John the 23rd called for the Second Vatican Council, not to correct errors in the church, but to help interpret and re-examine teaching in light of the modern century. On his deathbed, he said, quote, "It is not that the gospel has changed. It is that we have begun to understand it better. Those who have lived as long as I have were enabled to compare different cultures and traditions and know that the moment has come to discern the signs of the times, to seize the opportunity and look far ahead." Good Pope John died on June 3, 1963. St. John Paul II beatified him in 2000, and Pope Francis canonized John the 23rd along with St. John Paul II. In the year 2014, we ask today, Pope St. John the 23rd, pray for us. Amen. And by the way, friends, I contend that his journal is one of my top five favorite Catholic books of all time. It is Journal of a Soul, and it is fantastic. It is one of the best. You will not go wrong. Go to Divine Treasures. If they don't have it there, let them know, Journal of a Soul, they will order it for you. Let's go to Joe Stopulis, host of Man Up. Good morning, sir.
I was unaware of that.
Oh.
I don't know if that, he had a book.
Have you read that, his journal?
No, I didn't know about it, but oh. Now I've got to add to my list.
Yeah, it's very long, so it's not in a short read, but it's just... I can't say enough about it. So top five.
That's awesome.
Top five. There you go.
Awesome.
What do we got coming up on your show?
Yeah, so we're going to break down the Iowa-Penn State game.
I was telling Mark earlier, I did not think that there was a worse quarterback than Petrus in Power 5 football, but we found him.
I mean, you got to think that, you know, it's funny, the Iowa fans, we're sitting here like calling for our backup. We want our backup to be put in. On the other side, Penn State clearly did not want their backup.
They did not want that to happen. No, no, no.
Oh, boy. By the way, I was there, and it was the greatest.
Yes, you were. Yes, you were. You had a great time, I know.
Greatest thing ever. So, today's show, we got our good friend, Katie Patrizio, will be on. John, right. As you may know, she does a weekly podcast called The Sunday Dive, and it is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal, looking through, exploring the readings and what they mean to us. Really, a biblical context and history around all the readings, and it's just a fascinating weekly podcast. And so talking today about, A, how she prepares for it, what our listeners could expect if they listen to it, and then B, kind of just a reminder that we're supposed to be preparing for Sunday Mass. This is one of the tools I use to prepare for Sunday Mass is Bishop Barron's podcast and Katie's podcast, but, you know, obviously there are other ways to do it, but just the importance of not just showing up on Sunday, but preparing throughout the week for Sunday. So excited to have Katie on today to dive into her her show.
She's excellent. He's Joe Stopulis. 9 o'clock this morning, friends. The show, Man Up. Talk to you soon, brother.
See you, John.
Jesse Weiler up right after this, director of the Liturgical Institute. We're going to go through our monthly segment with Jesse. Love it. John Leonetti in the morning right here on Iowa Catholic Radio. Your diocesan minute is right now.
This is your news for the Diocese of Des Moines for Monday, October 11th. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins. If you and your spouse are celebrating a major milestone anniversary this year, Bishop Johnson encourages you to join him for the anniversary mass. He's inviting you to special mass on Saturday, October 30th at 4 o'clock at St. Ambrose Cathedral. He'll pray with, bless, and honor couples in the sacrament of marriage. Contact Kathy Gearhart by emailing cgearhart@dmdiocese.org or email communications@dmdiocese.org. Join Iowans for Life for their pro-life Christmas gala, The Holy Family, on November 20th. The evening consists of a cash bar, dinner, a Christmas auction, and a sensational Christmas show featuring top-notch Des Moines entertainers. Monsignor Frank Chido will speak on the importance of a holy family to the pro-life movement, and we'll explain why the Holy Family is the perfect model for our families today and the sole solution for our wounded world. Purchase your tickets at iowansforlife.org and click on events at the top of the page. That's your news for the Diocese of Des Moines. I'm Kelly Mesher-Collins.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Farm Bureau agent Cindy Schulte, an authorized independent agent for Walmart Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Iowa, an independent licensee of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association. Learn more at 515-226-2111 or cindyschulte.com. Support for Iowa Catholic Radio provided by Divine Treasures, a Catholic book and gift store serving the Des Moines community since 1992. Divine Treasures, 5701 Hickman Road, Des Moines, 515-255-5230. Thank you, Divine Treasures, for your support of Iowa Catholic Radio.
Support for Iowa Catholic Radio is provided by Skeffington's Formal Wear. In business since 1951, with locations in Des Moines, West Des Moines, Davenport, Coralville, and Ankeny. Skeffington's Formal Wear, fitting you for life celebrations. Online at skeffingtons.com.
Let's go to our last guest of the day, director of the Liturgical Institute, Jesse Weiler. Hello, sir.
Hello, how's it going, John?
Good morning, my friend. We're talking about some of the liturgical items, that things that we hear about at times, and maybe we don't quite know their significance. First and foremost, let's get into it. What's so important about the altar?
Well, principally, John, the altar in the liturgy is Christ. So I think a lot of people get confused. They think, oh, the tabernacle is the most important thing in the church. And when Mass is not going on, that is definitely the case. But when Mass is happening, everything we do revolves around the altar, which is Christ. And so that is the most important thing in the sanctuary when Mass happens. So if you're passing by or you see somebody, you know, pass by the altar, they bow to the altar, they don't bow to the tabernacle. And when the priest and the deacon process in the beginning of Mass, they kiss the altar. I mean, there's all of this symbolism and imagery. And the reason this is so important is because we want to make sure that we understand hierarchically what's happening in the liturgy. And so first things are first, second things are second, and so on and so forth.
This is where the sacrifice takes place. And again, the reverence there, as we see right away from the priests and deacon when they come in and reverence the altar by kissing it. Of course, we bow every time we kind of pass by the altar. And this isn't just, you know, nice things that we're doing here. There is deep meaning to it. What about the ambo? Well, go ahead.
Well, you know, I just want to say, in the rite of dedication of a church, the altar actually is consecrated in the same way that, like, in the shape of a crucifix. All four corners are blessed with oil, chrism oil, and then the center of it. So it's marked in five places, the five wounds of Christ. So it becomes Christ. And St. John Chrysostom says the most pivotal moment for an altar is when it receives the Eucharist for the first time. And so there's just so much imagery there, and we could probably do a whole thing just on that. But I want people to understand this order. So, you know, liturgically speaking, the furnishing, the first and most important thing is the altar.
Next is the ambo?
The next is the ambo, because that's where, so we have the liturgy of the word and the liturgy of the Eucharist. So we already covered the liturgy of the Eucharist with the altar, and now we have the liturgy of the word. And so this is the principal place where
the readings and more importantly, the gospel is proclaimed. And so the Ambo is this place that should have its second place in the sanctuary of importance. And a lot of times what people do architecturally, they'll interchange or they'll tie things together between the Ambo and the altar design-wise, because they really are very important together. You know what I mean? They kind of work together, like I said, liturgy, the word, and liturgy, the Eucharist. But we need to understand that altar first, ambo second. And again, this is where we're hearing the word of the Lord.
Yeah. And finally, for number three, we're talking about the presider's chair. And there is something unique about this. This is something very important. It's not just a chair that the priest sits in.
Correct. As you know, the priest is in persona Christi, capitis. So the chair is a symbol of God's shared authority, right? And this is the place where the priest is holding that authority. And I mean, what I'm saying here is it's not like the priest every time he says something is speaking from you know. Like the Pope, you know, everything he says is absolutely true. But there is a really important understanding of this authority and this reverence. And this harkens back to the chair of St. Peter. And so there's a lot of really cool things. There's a whole feast day for the chair of St. Peter, for one. And another thing, there's some really cool nuances with the chair, right? So you can actually preach standing at the celebrant's chair. A priest can preach while standing at the celebrant's chair. Only a bishop can preach seated in the celebrant's chair. So there's these nuances and liturgical rubrics that revolve around this, which give it that extra understanding. Because if it didn't mean anything, John, and it was just kind of a place where you sat, then we wouldn't have these little nuances, you know, these little things that we could, you know, understand and learn about the liturgy. Why could you preach from the presider's chair? Well, it's because it's sharing in God's authority.
And as Jesse said, you know, acting in persona Christi capitis, that's Latin for in the person of Jesus Christ, the head. There are very certain things that our Lord has given his priests the authority to do. And one of those, of course, what he holds there in that chair, that presider's chair, is precisely what he's been given the authority to do. And that is to lead, to celebrate the sacrifice of the Holy Mass, of course, to forgive our sins as well, the sacrament of confession, reconciliation. So there's a lot there. I got to let you go now, but man, you always fill my time. I love you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, God bless.
Wait a second. What's the website?
The website is liturgicalinstitute.org, and there's actually a bunch of articles on these three things, the altar, the ambo, and the presider's chair, on one of our partner sites, adoramus.org. There's great articles on all of this. I highly recommend you.
Cool. Adoramus.org, director of the Liturgical Institute, Jesse Weiler. We'll talk to you soon, brother. Thanks for tuning in today, friends. We appreciate you. What a way to start out this Monday. I am John Linetti. Be confident in Christ's mercy and his love today.